Now, I want the people to know that they still have 2 out of 3 branches of the government working for them, and that ain't bad.
I did not know that. Wow.
Not funny. Dangerous, though.
It's quite pungent.
Whatever. It's cute.
Now, please, listen very carefully.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH. I don't have ratings. The only thing I can give you is a Drudge poll, which is a poll of people that go to Drudge. And I have to enter who won the Republican second place debate. And I'm just going to take my vote out of it. I'm going to say Haley. And so amongst people that go to Drudge, which is a conservative news conglomerator, so there's that. They're saying, and I would say every time I did hear her talk, she was making a little more sense, and she was correcting, you know, any of the men like Tim Scott who went at her. And all of it. She won. They say 37% say she won. DeSantis 21%, and the only piece I got of him was the thing at the beginning when he was talking about, well, you got to be here to be here or whatever. And so if you didn't watch it, you're in good company. So I would say that.
And hit into a double play.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what that is. It's Julio getting called a homophobic slur and then not fighting. But so anyway, at least they schedule it on a correct night. I thought last time there was a conflict. It was like a football. Wasn't it a Thursday night or something like that? But there is football tonight, but there's no debate. So the people are not going to be upset by that. Mike Pence at 2%. I mean, and why was he there? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I did hear this, and here's what I know. If run your jokes by somebody that can say, it's a little formulaic, before you triumphantly, and also, I mean, before you sit there as if you just, you know, told the story about told the joke, the aristocrats, before you deliver that punchline. Okay, what are they called? The aristocrats. If you know, you know.
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
Yeah. Do you hear it in his voice? It's funny because when you see him, there's a slight pause. It's like, wait till they hear this.
And it wasn't Lincoln Douglas last night.
You know, and by the way, I guarantee there was more mirth. More mirth in a Lincoln Douglas debate than that. I mean, I got to say, having a sense of humor, it's been said by psychologists that having a sense of humor is a very high form of intelligence. I would say delivering it is.
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
Oh, no, you didn't. So there. But and that was, and you know, we practiced it. And so anyway, that was a cheap shot on my part to put that in the morning montage. Oh, you didn't hear it yet? And by the way, did you see the thing about sitting down more than 12 hours a day? The study about dementia?
No.
Oh, I hate this.
Tell me more.
Well, it's not good for you.
I could have told you that.
So what does the Bible say about laziness?
It's against it.
I mean, yeah, so now, I mean, I have no excuse for sitting down for 3 hours. It's just that, you know, this coffee's not going to drink itself. And if I stand up, then look, I'm way off the mic.
Look, apart from the fact that I'm morbidly obese, I blame my PE on being sedentary at work. You and I, like you're pointing out, sit constantly. I'm just in front of a computer screen doing show prep, or I'm helping produce. And so 8-10 hours a day I'm sitting. So every once in a while I see you glancing over at me, and I'm pacing around my side of the studio and stretching my feet, because you got to keep the blood flowing.
But, and that's the weird thing, is that I've got two different devices. Mm-hmm. Wait, let's lighten up the mood for a second
here. Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
Get out.
It's a gas.
Go. I've got a Fitbit and my Garmin GPS thingy. They both track movement.
Nifty.
And they both agree that, you know, I got to say, at the end of the day, that printer being all the way across the news bullpen.
Helps you get your steps in?
It really does.
Excuse me.
Because I, instead of me printing everything and then going out once, I print, go out and get it, print, go out and get it. Because I'm realizing right now I didn't pick up or I haven't printed the thing that says if you literally sit, not sit cross-legged, but sit 12 hours a day, your chances of dementia are more than double.
Wow.
And that, by the way, that's also like people on planes and the whole thing. That's embolisms.
Yeah, pulmonary embolism. That's PE. I had a DVT, which is deep vein thrombosis in my leg. And they kept on asking me, have you been on a plane all day? But I said, no, I sit, though, for about 8-9 hours a day because I work in radio. And they said, you got to keep moving. It's just good for you,
that's
period.
Like that NBC reporter that died going in 2003, that died on the way to Baghdad because he was cramped in an armored vehicle. But that wasn't the problem. You never heard the story. Just heard that he was brave, mm-hmm. going up there, the whole thing. The other crew members in the vehicle would say, get out and pee.
Yeah, right.
And he was terrified of landmines. And like, well, why'd you raise your hand to come cover a war? He was terrified. He stayed in the armored vehicle all the time. And the vehicle commander, it was a M88 Hercules armor recovery vehicle, had told him, just jump in the tracks we left behind. If the heaviest armored vehicle in the U.S. Army doesn't set off the mine, there's no mine there. But he wouldn't jump off. He just stayed with his knees up in his chest for 4 days in a row. And then one day when he did get up on the deck of the thing, he keeled over.
We were designed to move around in one way or another, but technological advances have made it so we don't have to as much as we used to for millennia.
Oh, I know. You know who knows that? Exactly. Everybody there. And also, we are also built to do another function, squatting.
I did not know that.
Not sitting on a porcelain thingy.
You're making me want to stand up now and shake my legs.
I know. I didn't notice. These have little elbows. And so
nice?
the thing holding the mic is flexible. So now that I don't have that study, well, I can just... I think you can Google it, but anyway, let's start. You know, it's important to loosen the audience up with a joke.
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
And that is how we start Know It All.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know It All. First thing.
I was just trying to get to the crickets. All right, so thing one. I don't know if you can figure it out. Please text us at 8:30. RV careening wrong way down Seattle Street after shooting in Lake Forest Park.
Hello! This is traumatizing!
The story didn't clear things up very well. Police are investigating a deadly shooting in Lake Forest Park that ended with an RV driving the wrong way down a busy Seattle street yesterday morning. So this was, you know, in the middle of the rain around 9:30 a.m., so Seattle Fire Department, SPD, and crews responded to the scenes of violence near the corner of Northeast 137th and 27th Avenues. This is Lake City. Someone shot at an RV on Bothell Way in Lake Forest Park after reports of a disturbance and collision. So the shooting is after the thing started. The victim in the RV was later seen driving down the wrong side of the road in Seattle's Lake City neighborhood before coming to a stop. That person, who has not been identified, died at the scene. So there's a scene where the guy was careening down Lake City Way and all that. But I don't know who's, you know, when Seattle police said the victim, I was trying to figure out what, you know, the victim is, you know, the dead guy. So there's that. Well, that'll be a personal goal. To clear this up by close of business today, I tell you.
The victim in this case was then able to travel in the motorhome as we see.
And this is a Seattle police captain who's referring to the victim. And so in other words, the guy's shot and he's bleeding out and he's careening down Lake City Way. And it looked like a wacky outtake from Breaking Bad.
The victim in this case was then able to travel in the motorhome, as we see here over my shoulder, down into the city of Seattle, where regrettably his life was lost. It was pronounced here on scene. So we have multiple.
So I'm assuming we're going to either drop it, Seattle media, or maybe clear up the confusion on this one. Thing two.
Second thing.
Our long national nightmare is over. You're never going to have to see Senator John Fetterman in a hoodie ever on the floor of the Senate because he claims he never wore it on the floor of the Senate. Just that he looks like a slob when he's off duty. And so now the admonition by Mike Barnicle that he stopped dressing like a slob is now a thing of the past.
Mr. President.
And this is Chuck Schumer yelling into my mic for some reason. And he's the majority leader. He's the one who said we're not going to enforce it last week. And then he unleashed the Kraken and the Fury.
Mr. President.
Majority leader.
Though we've never had an official dress code, the events over the past week have made us all feel as though formalizing it is the right way forward.
I'm not wearing, you know, hoodies on the floor as well.
And by the way, I should point out that there was a time when the U.S. Senate was established in Article 1 of the Constitution. You didn't have to have a dress code. You didn't have to tell a gentleman about his haberdash. They came dressed for the correct party. And stuff. Well, so thing three.
Third thing.
I know how accepting Seattle is, but how dare you throw a homophobic slur in Spanish after you throw a third strike to our very own Julio Rodriguez.
Chases for the strikeout. And Neris with a kind of taunting.
Yeah.
Wow. Neris came charging right at Julio Rodriguez after striking him out, and now the benches have cleared.
I don't know what the history is between those two, but that was uncalled for Neris. As you mentioned,
and by the way, he didn't care. What radio feed is this?
There were multi-broadcasts of the game last night. I think that might have been the MLB Network. I'm not sure.
Maybe, because folks, if you were watching it, you saw he took two or three aggressive sort of Roger Clemens-y steps towards Julio Rodriguez because they do have a history.
Got him to hit into a double play. 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Neris pumped up. And he is going to say something to Julio Rodriguez on his way off the mound.
Not acceptable.
Up and walked right at Julio
Rodriguez. I don't know, Rick. It looks like a Spanish homophobic slur to me. Something to do with a banana or something. But the history is that in last year, when Rodriguez was a rookie, he hit a in the is it still the what do they call the Houston place?
Oh, not
it's not.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. They blasted the dome too, just copiers. But anyway, Julio was a
rookie. Minute Maid Park.
He knocks a dinger off of Neris last year, his rookie year. So Mariners win by six at Houston. And Julio danced and celebrated all the way around, like as if it was his first MLB home run or something, but it was not.
Well, he wasn't doing the Lombada. I mean, he hit his chest a few times.
He was doing
his
fist. The Macarena.
That is true.
Yeah, the Latin reference here. Insert Latin reference here. But I mean, that was the thing. He was pumping the arms like he was he was acting as if it was a home run, and the crowd in Houston was booing the guy as Julio was rounding third. They're booing him because he's taking his sweet ass time to get them in there. They can get in their car at any time they want. They're down by seven. But anyway, that was the thing from last year. So besides clearing out what in the heck darn happened on Lake Forest Park or in Lake City Way yesterday, we're not going to get any clearance. And what exactly is it that Hector Neris said? And you got a source man, Hector Neris. I'm thinking he's from the DR, but he might be from somewhere else. I don't know.
Fact check on the fly: a Dominican professional baseball pitcher.
Oh, okay. So he's not like King Felix. So okay. So they're both DR, and they both know each other. Neris is a little older though. So anyway, disrespecting him, and boy, they'll ask a. Big Poppy about disrespecting the Dominican Republic. I mean,
this kind of thing is so on brand for the Astros. Leave it to this Houston team to further cement their reputation as the most hated MLB club out there.
I know. At least, you know, would you have done that if it was Ortiz? You know, the now retired future Hall of Famer.
We can only wildly speculate.
No, you wouldn't, because Ortiz wouldn't put up. Big Poppy would throw. He'd bury his bat in the guy's head. And that. I found enough stuff to talk about to make it thing two. So it's thing three, I think.
Let's go with the fourth thing.
Okay.
Fourth thing.
Well, no big updates yet. Private second class, Travis King, he'll be looking at a reduction in rank, had been punished for misconduct while serving in South Korea due to be sent home. North Korea decided to expel King after determining he entered illegally. They delivered him to China. Apparently, there was a heads up, so there was an American representative to clap him in leg irons or whatever. He's now in American custody back in US Fork in U.S. Forces, Korea. Thing five-ish.
Fifth thing.
So, yeah, the story I've been telling you about, the self-declared Republic of Nagorno-Karabakh surrendered to Azerbaijan after a swift and brutal military takeover by Azerbaijani forces last week. The region's president said today it would dissolve its government and military. The region is internationally recognized as Azerbaijani territory, but is largely populated by ethnic Christian Armenians. More than 66,000 have fled amid fears of genocide. And it's like I say, it's just odd, you know, seeing where we're hanging our international hat these days and why, you know, the fact that this happened and it's gotten no coverage in the United States. One odd thing about it is that the Azerbaijanis really didn't care about the so-called Russian peacekeepers in front of them. They targeted them, and Moscow did nothing. The Azerbaijanis, with Turkish drones and with American and Israeli weapons, got the peacekeepers out of the way because they probably didn't know the Russians weren't going to do anything except hold a red cape and say ole, but they killed them anyway. They targeted them and killed them, and then they apologized after every time they went, oh, our bad. Wow, did that'll rub out. We don't have a thing six, do we?
Sixth thing. If you want it, you got it.
So the U.S. government claims to be getting ready for a shutdown. The Biden administration plans to warn federal workers as soon as today that a shutdown appears imminent. It would begin Sunday unless Congress extends the deadline, because that's the 1st of October. What's odd to me about this is that the Republican Congress, the White House threat has been made good. They could emergency fund the Border Patrol and the military, but the military, active duty military, has been informed you're not going to have money on Sunday night at midnight. You're not going to have a direct deposit. So they're, for the first time during a shutdown, and then shutdowns happen and they basically don't affect us, but they're giving the White House a talking point, and it's a sort of Damocles, and it's working. So you're just going to be labeled as, besides after Tommy Tuberville, who they're absolutely mischaracterizing, that, oh no, America stands unready for an enemy attack or something because of a lack of three-star generals. Okay, it's not the case. But anyway, Republicans are ready to not pay the military starting Sunday. That is a thing. And the White House, now, are they going to say, is anyone listening to me even explain this? Because these are such yawners. Because in general, what it boils down to is thousands of IRS employees are going to have to be at home on Monday. And that ain't no joke.
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
And that's no joke either. So.
I do not support you wearing black socks and short pants.
See, that's extemporaneous, and it's even funnier. But
Representative, do you support Trump's call to shut down the government?
He has not called me, and I do not support you wearing black socks and short pants.
And here is your I watch the I heard so many commentators this morning saying, well, that's 2 hours I can't get back. Well, then why'd you watch it? What was it, a surprise that this would be it? Here's your Republican debate simulator. Just imagine you're seated with a beverage. The TV is on. You flip to, you find Fox Business, and you hear this.
Excuse me, thank you for speaking while I'm interrupting.
Literally.
While I'm speaking.
Well, no, you said buy paper.
If I may finish.
You can't be on both sides.
Gentlemen, you'll have your...
And then someone yells, aren't the Mariners on? There's your simulation on that. You missed nothing. And as Trump pointed out yesterday as well, that... It basically, it's the second place debate.
No, they're all job candidates. They want to be in the, they'll do anything. Secretary of something. They even say VP. I don't know. Does anybody see any VP in the group? I don't think so. All right, watch it. You negotiate.
former VP told a really hilarious joke, by the way.
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the...
I'll give you the punchline when we come back. AM 770 KTTH.
Excuse me.
Wait, what montage is that from?
The Brian Suits Show montage.
But it's from, is it from Team America?
No, it's a legit, sincere song from like the 80s. I think it found its way into a few movies.
Is the Lou Gossett movie where he trains a kid how to fly the F-16?
Iron Eagle?
Yeah.
Oh, classic.
There was use of montages all over the place there.
We need another Top Gun, but we don't have Tom Cruise or a good director. Let's go Iron Eagle.
I know. I just got jets. It's filmed in Israel. What's not to like and the whole thing. Someone has to get on Elon watch on this, because I'll tell you my rule about Elon Musk. I know you're all wondering, what's the rule on Elon Musk? Listen, when the world's richest man, like $66 billion. When the world's richest man builds himself an escape capsule to go to Mars, when he points at something and says that could be the end of life on Earth as we know it, I sit up and take notice. And he's giving all kinds of signals. He was testing.
3 weeks from now, I will be harvesting my.
So he was testing the Twitter throughput. The bandwidth, for those of us that are going to do live Twitter.
You mean the X throughput.
Yeah, because the Tucker interview, it was Tucker Trump on Twitter. That got like 145 million dips. I mean, some people didn't watch the entire thing.
Dips is the right word.
But way more than watched the first RNC debate that night. So obviously this is his way forward, the whole thing. But I'm just kind of curious, because he put in Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the Felix Legion, his pre-battle briefing at the beginning of the movie Gladiator.
Are you not entertained?
Imagine where you will be.
Which?
Oh. Hold the line. Stay with me.
Don't get me wrong.
You find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face. Do not be troubled, for you are in Elysium, and you're already dead!
Which was the Roman, speaking of the Roman Empire.
One of the greatest opening scenes to any movie
ever. I know. And then the dog disappears. He has a Malinois or a German Shepherd, and then Ridley Scott has talked about that. He said no one brought it up in the production meeting. You know, the after that battle, when they finally beat the Vandals... And he gets the guy's headless body, you know, strapped to a horse and all that. But anyway, not a real encouraging thing. And I don't know if that's part of the joke, that this ongoing meme about thinking about the Roman Empire, because it's a movie player on a wall, and it's a cartoon of a guy hugging his girlfriend. And so that's the only thing. I just hope I probably overanalyze him, because, like I say, anything that looks fatalistic from a guy with an escape pod, I'm not going to be real happy about.
Is this not why you are here?
Brothers!
When you see my signal.
What we do in life echoes in eternity. 3 weeks from now.
Unleash hell. or as we say today, send it. So anyway, well, all right. So two things. If you ask me, if you say, what one neighborhood would you advise people to avoid day or night? I'd say Belltown. Belltown, and it proved me right yesterday. Seattle police investigating a Belltown neighborhood stabbing that left a man injured Wednesday afternoon. And this entirely too many knives in the hand of vagrants lately, like the Battery Street tunnel guy who leads police on a foot pursuit into a hornet's nest and all that. He started by waving a knife around. And knives freaked me out, by the way. Officers answered a call that reported a man who had been stabbed near the intersection of 2nd Avenue and Blanchard Street. So the heart of Belltown. When officers arrived at the scene, they found a 34-year-old male with stab wounds, according to SPD. And by the way, that's the law of the homeless in Glantment. Every male and most females in homeless camps have knives. The only time I've seen something different was that surveillance video from about a year ago where a guy, there was a confrontation off camera, and then the guy came back with a semi-automatic AK hybrid and shot somebody in the tent. But in general, guns are rare, but knives are required to live that way. So anyway, Belltown would be number one. This one, a year ago, this Eastlake was it. I'd say we've come down quite a bit because the resident car burglar, gosh, I hope nothing bad happened to him, but I haven't seen the guy in a while. And the normal tribe that's under the I-5 viaduct, they haven't exposed themselves or assaulted. That guy was rolled up in Green Lake. So it has gotten better. Those are my metrics. Those are my measurements. All right. Well, here's the bad news. Here it is. Sitting all day increases dementia risk, even if you exercise. So hello, Escape Pod. In news that we shouldn't take sitting down, a study just published by JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, finds that people who stay seated for long hours at work and home are at much higher risk of developing dementia than people who sit less. And I know, like, in one example, if I got a push mower instead of a riding mower, it'd be better for me, better health-wise and the whole thing. But I would still be mowing my lawn to this day. I mean, I'd be calling in, and I don't think I have lawn mowing days off. Live well every day with tips and guidance on food. The study, which involved 49,841 men, so I'm going to say it's a pretty decent study, and women age 60 or older, supports the idea that more time spent in sedentary behaviors increases one's risk of dementia. I also think that it's genetic. I think it's, what's it called when it's passed on?
Hereditary?
Hereditary, yeah. A professor of neurology at Boston University and co-author of Seven Steps to Managing Your Aging Memory said that the study supports the idea that more time spent in sedentary behaviors increases one risk of dementia. Also, I also think lack of mental exercise does that as well. And I mean, I don't have... I don't have a folksy anecdote about a relative. My dad was a air traffic controller for 29 years in Diamond Head in Honolulu. I mean, he sat, and I got to go to his work a couple times. Short sleeve shirt, pocket protector with the FAA logo, cigarettes. Every guy, their face lit green by a radar screen, headphones on, or little headset thingy, little NASA headset, cigarette in hand. To the tune of like two packs a day, sitting, 8-hour shift every day for 29 years. Then my dad would come home and sit by the pool and play with Fritzy and Snoopy, our dachshunds, and have like three more cigarettes. And then he would come in. Then he could climb down from being an air traffic controller at Honolulu Center. And he lived to his early 90s. And he was sharp as a tack until literally the day he died in Sequim. Yeah, never lost it. So, and obviously an anecdote is not a sample, and that's just an anecdote. But
I will say this: in the 80s and 90s, there was someone who used to be ubiquitous on daytime television, and it was someone who liked to be very active and encouraged other people to be very active. Do you know who I'm referring to?
Jack LaLanne?
Maybe this will give you a hint.
Four more. Whoa. Cupid, draw back your bow and arrow.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
Okay? Five. He was everywhere.
Dick. Young
seven.
Dick Simmons.
Again,
telling everybody to get up and move.
Do that stupid little steppy thing.
Inhale.
Get your steps in. Raise your hands to the sky. Maybe he was onto something. I know it's sort of looked
Well, he was
down
a
upon.
Off-camera... dumpster fire.
Well, sure, off camera, but on camera, let's praise him for
far less dumpster fire.
Telling people to get up and move. The dude was on to something.
And I would say, I'm not, like, during the commercial breaks, I go to the printer, I go to the bathroom. You know what? Me and one of the sports guys, we finally hit on an epiphany today. Our coffee machine had to be designed by a man because it's fresh beans, it grinds them, and then it runs boiling water through them. But it takes exactly the time that it does. For a male radio personality to number one. So you, but the key is you start the cup, you press a button, then you go in. You even have a kind word for a colleague, clean up, wash your hands. You get out, and it's and the last of the coffee is going in the cup.
Put that coffee down.
And it just works out.
Coffee's for closers only.
It just works out too well. It had to be designed by a man. By the way, all right. So here's the secret punchline.
Unemployment line.
There you go. Bottom line, do yourself a favor, move around, and you can't, there's no, if you sit that long, and I gotta say, I think 60 or older, these are people sitting in front of the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't move, you cross your legs, you change position, you move the dog or whatever, but you're sitting there binging Yellowstone or whatever. That's, you know, no one did that. You know, 5,000 years ago, you were running from the saber-toothed tiger or whatever. And who says you can't watch TV standing up? That's why, for me, a requirement of a real home is a big open kitchen with a TV in view. So you can stand there cooking, watching Beth Dutton drink herself into an early grave and probably seated at a bar, you know, or whatever. But I do. Because I'm a slob, I'm an impulsive cleaner. When I see a thing, I go get the Dyson, the handheld Dyson, and I vacuum up the thing.
And you put your Walkman in your pocket, put the headphones on.
Yep. There she is.
There's Brian doing housework.
And you know, to get into that role, because she's a method actor, she lived with a family of arc welders for a month. Oh, there we go. Jennifer Beals jokes on that one. So anyway, all I can tell you is, you know, I'm fighting the years, and I've got battles to fight. Single dad business, whole thing. But I got to say, I don't answer to anyone for how I look naked. Excuse but me? I've never paid more attention to it than lately. I mean, by lately, I mean since turning, single. I do have my F-35 engine noise imitation a lot better. The downsides of oversitting are well known to scientists. Does that need to be a sentence? And that's also, by the way, like the number one thing with cops, especially late in their career, they're sitting in the Ford Explorer, and then they have to get out and chase, you know, Johnny meth head thief, car thief. So going from a seated position, the pit maneuver worked. Now I get out and I chase you. You know, that's a young man's game right there. So anyway, back in a second. And when we come back, some Ukraine stuff. We'll dip in live to an exciting congressional hearing. Oh, and let me tell you, it's a red hot one. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.
Here's to feeling good all the time.
The rubber plant out. AM something the KTTH.
I was hoping you would fill in the blanks.
Cut one, side A, Led Zeppelin 1, and which didn't get a number because I didn't know if there would be a second one. Anyway, there you go. That's the world's introduction to the Led Zeppelins.
In the days.
So we're complaining about the fact that nobody respects the ding. At the Republican, any debate. Really.
Fear the ding.
Fear the, please have a bigger ding or something. How about this? I like this congressional rule.
When you begin to speak, the light in front of you will turn green. After 4 minutes, the light will turn yellow. When the red light comes on, your 5 minutes is expired. We would ask that you please wrap up your testimony.
And they will, you know, just cut you off and all that. And I fear the yellow. You don't want the yellow ding.
4 minutes, the light will turn yellow.
Yellow. Like a yellow jacket, you're yellow, and so that Jonathan Turley, by the way, who I like a lot, he's a frequent Fox contributor, good Twitter follow. Everything he's saying right now is going to be discounted by three separate networks because he's a Fox News talking head. So no matter what point he's making, and I guarantee it's a great point,
we can disagree with each other without hating each other. These are important issues.
I reject that on the face of it.
Really do gravitate in favor of the president. So I would simply say that this is a moment where members and citizens can't stand together without prejudging the evidence. And I thank you for the honor of appearing before you today.
Thank you, Professor Charlie. Professor.
Well, the light must have turned yellow.
What's wrong, dude?
Oh, but with me now is the presidential candidate, Ron DeSantis.
So I don't know. But he's right, because as I was watching, as I brought that up, it turned yellow.
4 minutes, the light will turn yellow.
It sure did. So anyway, I'm sure he said something erudite and pithy and brilliant and some great insight, because that's what he brings to the table. But you're not going to hear it on. And by the way, this is Fox carrying it live. Of course, MSNBC is not. And then I love this. Fox has a little because they're spending a lot of money down at the border for drone cams and things like that. Down in the lower right corner, they have live at the border, so you can.
That's the best. there
should be like a counter or something. As people go by, there should be like a little turnstile. And then as people go through, they can just hit the counter and then say, so as they go through or something.
Nobody calls me yellow.
Do we want to? Because they do have, DeSantis is on. I know what he's going to say. Any Republican candidate would say the same thing. you don't know what the evidence is until you do an inquiry, hence the presence of prosecutors in general. And that's the thing about Chris Christie, is that he's a prosecutor, and that's all he wants to do. The only reason he's running is to lay out the case against Donald Trump. I think it's falling flat.
But we need the law and order back everywhere. We need law and order back in our suburbs. People are threatened there. We need it in our rural areas. People feel threatened there. And we need it in Washington, D.C. also. And Donald Trump should be here to answer for that, but he's not. And I want to look in that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching. Okay? And you're not here tonight, not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
4 minutes, the light will turn yellow. 4 minutes, the light will turn yellow.
Well, the light
turned
yellow.
When the red light comes on, your 5 minutes is expired.
He kept going. So anyway, and so many, everybody who was debating who's going to be second place, they, except for Christie, who has crossed the Rubicon of criticizing Trump. So I guarantee whatever DeSantis is saying right now, here's a sample.
An event on Sunday night at the VFW in Coronado. So we had a lot of great veterans, and people are appreciative to have a veteran running for office.
Let me try and squeeze in a few more before we get back to this hearing. In debate number one.
And they did. It's funny because one Gitmo detainee who's now free in Bahrain with a golden house or whatever, he swears up and down that Ron DeSantis withheld food from him and then force-fed insurer down his gullet when DeSantis did a brief visit to Gitmo or something. It's been discounted by Navy personnel records showing that the guy was. You don't go into the military as a JAG as a lieutenant. It's a virtually a direct commission thing. So they were saying he was not a interpreter, wasn't an interrogator, and he certainly was not the guy who walked in with a funnel and surgical tubing and poured insure down your gullet, down your falafel hole or whatever. And so if I was Ron DeSantis, wouldn't you embrace that? Wouldn't you go, I don't know. Maybe it is true. Maybe I did that. Maybe I didn't. Because it's a hell of a lot better than this one day in the talk, it smelled of wet plywood. There I was in Afghanistan back in Kabul. And someone said, hey, you want to take a armored Suburban into the embassy and review some non-disclosure agreements? That is what he did. You know, but if there's a guy saying that this one time at Gitmo, he force-fed him insure, okay, then all right. I'll take it. You've seen the elephant. But anyway, he didn't have to do that. It's not like there's a shortage of jobs for lawyers.
He's going to slay the administrative state when he gave Fauci an award his last day in office. What about all the spending and debt? They racked up massive amounts of debt, particularly in his last year in office. Of course, you're going to end up leading to inflation when you do that. On issue after issue.
And I didn't see anything about the Gavin DeSantis confrontation. I didn't see anything today. I thought today that I'd be sick of Gavin. If he was there, I didn't even see. Fox didn't even acknowledge that the guy was there.
Hannity talked to him for a little bit. He also appeared on CNN. And the guy reeks of being Machiavellian. Is that the right term?
Yeah.
You can tell him using he uses every situation to try to gain an advantage.
And self-satisfaction.
Right, exactly.
And personal gain. He reeks. He Burian reeks of personal gain. That is why he's in it. That's why Nancy Pelosi put him where he is. But, that's a weird bromance between Hannity and Newsom. But Newsom has that bromance with anyone who's never lived in his California.
The only person who was missing was Kimberly Guilfoyle from that equation. That would have been a love triangle.
Turn yellow.
Well, I know. Yeah. How can?
Isn't she the one who dated or was married to Newsom?
Dated. They were married.
Oh yeah.
Dated. They laid on a rug together. Do I have to tweet that picture out again?
That's right.
Yeah. And also that's why Kamala and Kimberly Guilfoyle hate each other. Hate each other because Kamala was city attorney, and she fired Kimberly Guilfoyle when Kimberly Guilfoyle started dating Mayor Gavin.
There you go.
That's exactly it. As some say, it was because Kimberly Guilfoyle was a bad lawyer.
We'll turn yellow.
Well, and at the drop of a hat, we'll turn yellow and the whole thing. But there's so much tawdry backstory that no one knows about our current vice president. Mm-hmm. And it goes right through Gavin. You know what I'm saying. Anyone with repeated exposure to this guy is grossed out, especially when you see that Vanity Fair picture where they're in he's lying behind her. Because he's slimy and they're married at the time. I get it. Did you hear that weird exchange last night? When Chris Christie was pointing out that Joe Biden,
oh right, yes,
sleeps with a member of the teachers union, meaning Dr. Jill is a doctor of education, like that's a thing, and she's a gigantic teachers union backer, and they're the greatest victimizers of children that I've ever seen in my lifetime over the past 3 years, and I guess Mike Pence's wife was a teacher, but not a member of the union. And so when Christie made that accusation and said, look, we got to get this guy out because he's in bed literally in bed with a member of the teachers union. When it was Mike Pence's turn, he's
my wife isn't a member of the teachers union, but I got to admit, I've been sleeping with a teacher for 38 years.
Okay. And, so it's okay to be grossed out. Here, let me cleanse the palate.
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
You know what? Comedy will cleanse any palate on that one. So anyway, that's
teacher
our...
Teacher for 30...
That's our recap of the RNC debate. Like as Trump said, these people are all job interviewing for him. So...
No, they're all job candidates. They want to be in the, they'll do anything. Secretary of something. They even say VP. I don't know. Is anybody?
I think if you make a Frankenstein president, that entire stage could make, I think, a pretty good president, but it would probably have Nikki Haley's head on it, which would be odd. But I'm just saying, if there's someone even close to a complete package, I think it would be her. A complete, like, three packages might be Christie, but no, she's the one who kept showing herself to be quick-witted, quick of wit, and we'll have a montage when we come back. Hour number three, a quick reset on local news, what in the heck happened in Lake Forest Park yesterday, and more questions like that. If you can answer any of these things, what in the world did Hector Neris say? 800-465-8770. We'll do a checking of your texting at the bottom of the hour. And who in the heck is wait, what's the term?
Now, can't you see? I got $700.
Who is that government official, and what instrument is he playing? The answer may surprise you when we come back, because it is the world's most boring man. AM 770 KTTH.
Cognitive beauties.